Today we're going to discuss the notion of Gamzu Latova, which is something that we're all supposed to say, right? So I'll start by just discussing a story that I remember when I was much, much younger. I was in high school, and I had a younger brother. His name is Yair. He's now a rabbi somewhere. And my youngest brother's name is Yonatan. Yonatan was 4 or 5, if I recall. And Yair did something to make Yonatan angry, as brothers are wont to do. And we had next to the kitchen, this, like, you know, from the kitchen to the basement is about 5 steps. So Yair got Yonatan apparently so angry that Yonatan tried to push his brother down the steps. You know, he really was, like, trying to push him down the steps. And, you know, it was funny because as a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, it really wasn't, you know, so Yair goes to my mother's, "Mommy's trying to push me down the steps." And Yonatan says to him, "Yair, you know, things happen in life." And I just remember it was so, like, poignant. My brother. To say, you know, things happen in life, and you just have to kind of accept them, you know. We're gonna discuss that issue in a certain context as we look at Parshat Vayigash. So, if you will turn to Perek Mem Hei in the middle of Vayigash, obviously Yosef and his brothers, and he has connived to have Binyamin brought down, and now the Parsha begins with Yehuda arguing for Binyamin's release, and he offers to him himself and his place, which is a very noble thing. And there's all kinds of wonderful discussions about what was Yosef's plan, and what did he want, and why did he give up. All of which we're not going to discuss right now. Okay? Perek Mem Hei. V'lo yachol Yosef lehitapek l'chol anitzavim alav. Yosef could not contain himself regarding all the people that were standing over him. Vayikra, and he called out, "Hotziu kol ish mi'alai." Everybody leave. V'lo amed ish ito b'hitvada Yosef elachav. Okay, and no one was there when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers. Vayiten et kolo b'vichi, vayishma umitzayim, vayishma beit paro. And he starts crying, and he starts. You know, you can imagine the scene. Here, Yosef, they don't know he's Yosef yet, right? He's the viceroy, the vice paro, vice king of Egypt. And he says, "Everybody out!" And everybody leaves, and he starts crying. And he starts wailing. And because remember, it's Vayishma Beit Paro. Everybody hears Yosef crying. And so you imagine, what are the brothers thinking? Like, oh my God, what is going on? We, you know, this guy's going to kill us. We're in huge trouble. Vayomer Yosef elachav, ani Yosef ha'od avichai. I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? Does anybody else have 613 Tower Avenue? No. Okay. Fine.
What?
You never. You. I grew up listening to this records called 613 Tower Avenue. And there's this famous song that they took Broadway. Wasn't it from Broadway? Where's that from?
Oh, Susanna,
right. I am Yosef, is my father still alive? You know, you got to do it in the proper Brooklyn accent. You didn't grow up with 613 Terra Avenue?
No.
It's a classic.
They
reissued
them.
On CDs? Did
they really? Yeah. We have to get it. Okay. His brothers just simply couldn't answer him. They were in halupana. Their faces were behala. They were in shock. The well said. Vayomer Yosef. What? The shock. Vayomer Yosef el achav. Gishuna elai vayigashu. Come close. Right? Meaning because he sees them like, you know, if you look at Rashi. Ra'au tam nesugim la'achor. And he sees them like inching backwards, like, "Oh my God, that's Yosef. We're in real trouble. We're dead." And he says, "No." Karalem elashon rakav etachanunim. He says, "Amar achshav achai nichlamim. My brothers are embarrassed." Karalem elashon rakav etachanunim veharalehem shehu mahul. Very interesting. Like Gishuna Eli, what he said? Come close. I got to show you something. Like what are you going to show them? He showed them his circumcision because nobody in Egypt would be circumcised. Only a Hebrew would be circumcised. I'll prove to you I'm Yosef. Like he thought maybe it was some divine, crazy plot against them. Or who knows? Like now they're really going to pay for it. Because remember, as we'll come to, when this started happening to them, when these crazy events started happening to them, their money is found and the guy is accusing them, what do they start saying to each other?
This is divine retribution.
This is our punishment.
This is our punishment. We deserve this. We have this coming to us. Yes?
So you're saying that Yosef showed them
his Mila. His Brit Mila. That's what I said. Rashi says it. Midrash says it. Gishuna Eli, come close.
Let me ask you, how does this relate to, was this something that was ever done?
Mila?
To reveal yourself that way. I mean, to us...
I wouldn't know.
Does anybody say anything like that? Like there are references, put your hand on my thigh and swear to me, etc. So was this not such a big deal as we would think?
When I see this, I don't know if he actually did it or not. I think that the idea was that he's trying to prove himself, prove his identity to them in a sensitive way. He probably could have as easily told them, remember that time in the yard when I threw the stick and the dog came? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know if he actually showed them the Mila or not. I can't answer
that. The Mila is proof that he is from the descendant of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov line.
Nobody else would be Mahu.
Other than that family line.
Although,
it's not true because Esav.
What's interesting, Esav is, that's true. What's interesting is that the Midrash says...
Okay.
The Midrash says that Yosef tried to get all the Egyptians to circumcise themselves. He forced them to circumcise themselves. So what kind of proof would it be? Meaning if they wanted food.
No,
they wanted food. Anyone who wanted food from him, they wanted to buy food, Yosef said, first you have to Brit Milah. That's what the Midrash says.
Why?
It's unclear why. But that's unclear why. But
well,
that's
what Yosef, really.
Right.
He
has
Prince Charles, but
he's that one. Well. Where do I go there? All right, Ve'ata. But now we come to the real, this is the crux, so this is what I wanted to discuss today. Ve'ata, and now, Al te'atzvu, do not be sad. Ve'al yichar ve'enechem, and don't be angry. Ki machartem oti hena, that you have sold me, hena to here. Ki l'mechiyash lachani Elohim lifneichem. Because God has sent me as sustenance before you. Pasuk vav. Ki zesh nataim ha-ra'av bekerev ha'aretz. We're now 2 years into this famine. And we've got 5 years to go where there will be no produce. And Hashem has sent me before you to place she'irit, a remnant in the land. And to sustain you for a great escape.
Wait a minute, did they not know about Ger Yizarecha be'aretz?
Hold on. One more pasuk. Va'ata lo atem shlachtem oti hena ki Elokim. You didn't send me, the Ribbon Shel Olam did. Va'yisimeni lav leparo ulo adon l'chol beito u'moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. And he sent me as a master, place me as a father for Paro, as a master for Paro, and a master of all of his house, and a ruler of all of Eretz Mitzrayim. Maharu, hurry! Va'alu el aviv yamar teme lav ku amar b'ncha Yosef. Samani Elohim, the whole Mitzrayim, Redai Le Al Tamo. Come down, don't stay there, I'm going to take care of you. I read this, and every time I read it, I think to myself, come on. You've got to be kidding. Like, okay, it's one thing to say, you know, I forgive you. But it's not what he says. He says it in an almost unbelievable way. Al Ta'atzvu. Don't be upset. V'al Yichar Ve'enechem. And don't be mad. Why? He says it almost in an unbelievable way. Lo atem shlachtim Elokim oti hena ki Elokim. And what I struggle with and what I want to discuss with you today is that really true? Does that mean that the brothers are not complicit in their behavior because really it was all the hand of God in the end anyway? So when your neighbor Lo Aleinu drives down the street with her 5-year-old and ends up plowing into somebody's yard. And they come out and say, are you crazy? Which her answer should really be,
God made me do it.
It was the will of God. Yes.
I think both sides are true. I think that it was meant to be that Yosef was going to land up in Mitzrayim. But it didn't have to be that they were each with him. They brought him there.
It didn't have to be in that way.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? he was meant to land up in Mitzrayim.
Right.
And somebody had to be
instruments.
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that it had to be them.
But that's not what he says. I'm struggling with what he says. Okay? The question becomes, to what degree, to what extent do you take the following? This is, I'm going to read from the Rambam. It's at the end. You give me the Keri Emunah. It's what?
Well, some say you
somebody codified it. Okay? The Ani Ma'amin. Everybody says this every day? I don't either. Okay. Maybe you're supposed to. Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shlema. This is the first one. Shehabore Yitbarach Shemo. Hu bore umanhig lechol abirurim. He is the creator and guides all creatures. Behu levado, he alone, asa ve'oseh ve'yaaseh, right? He did, he made, he does, and he will do. Now translate these words for me. Lechol hama'asim.
All that is done.
Now let me read you our scroll's translation. He alone made, makes, and will make everything. Are those the same? L'chol ha-ma'asim. Okay, go. I know.
The Rambam doesn't say that.
What is the Rambam? Who wrote this, by the way? You would know.
I don't know, but it wasn't the Rambam. Rambam doesn't say it.
And Rambam didn't write
later
this.
Later on, he talks about it, and according to Rambam, Hashgacha Prati only happens on a personal level relative to your connection to God. The closer you are to God, the closer Hashgacha Prati you have. That all species have Hashgacha Klalit, but people, individual people, only have Hashgacha Prati directly related to their connection to God.
Well, that, by the way, it's important to
which
just
is totally opposite of
what this
the
is.
Translation.
Right. It's important just to emphasize that the Rambam says that the more you believe that you have Hashgacha Prati, the closer your connection to God in your heart, the closer it actually is. And that if you struggle with your connection and believe that God isn't really guiding your life, then you won't. But if you see His hand in your life, the more you see His hand in your life, the more it will be there.
It's not that.
Which is like a catch-22, isn't it? You know, like,
yesterday somebody was telling me about the Entebbe ray. I didn't know of this. That the Israelis had actually departed the airport. They landed at one airport, then they went to this airport, and they had all the plans for the airport, so they could do the raid, because they had all the plans.
The Israelis designed the Entebbe airport?
They actually designed that airport.
No, I didn't know
that. That's why they knew where to go. So they knew exactly where to go. They knew where all the ducts were, and all the electrics, and all. I mean, how
who knows that?
Amazing.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking that, I think this is, that line that you were quoting, it wasn't, don't blame yourself, etc. I think this is more about Yosef than about whether this is literally true.
Ooh.
I mean, this says something about where he was in his heart. He had gone so far from that kid who was frightened and who was telling on his brothers and showing off and all that. He was so far from that he really was a different person. And he had made peace with it, and he could make peace with them.
Beautiful. That's very nice. But then what you're saying then is what Yosef is saying to his brothers, he doesn't actually think it's true.
No, it's true for him.
Well, what does that mean?
It means that he has really, you know.
What you're saying is that, of course, they sold him into slavery, and they're responsible, and they did terrible things. But he's come to peace with it. He's come to terms with it.
And look where he ended up.
Great.
And look where he look what he is now able to do for them, for all of Israel, because he is here. So that's why he's saying.
Again, I'm not saying what you're saying is incorrect. I think that's a very legitimate interpretation to say that what Yosef is saying. But look at what look at the words he says. Lo atem shalachtem oti heina ki ha'elokim. And his words are really extreme. You didn't do it. Hashem did it.
No, he's saying Hashem sent me here. Not you didn't do anything, but Hashem is the one whose plan
it
was.
It could have been sent anywhere.
Okay.
He did do something, but it was Hashem's plan that he got sent.
Yeah, okay. That's give me your comment, and then we're going to read through again, see if we can specify about some of the words.
That, aren't there some portions that say that it's okay what they, you know, what they did in their eyes was the correct thing?
You're raising a totally different issue, which is also an important issue, which is some view the Shvatim, right? You have to look at the Shvatim and say, how could the Shvatim do, these are the sons of Yaakov, and they would never do anything inappropriate. And they decided halachically what they were going to do, and they judged Yosef and decided, so therefore, why should they're not responsible for what they did?
So, no, but what I'm thinking is that now he's seeing it from their perspective. Years later, he's seeing it from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
From their perspective, they didn't do anything wrong.
I must tell you, I've always struggled with that perspective. Like, you know, it's very... The perspective that really looks at them, they're tzaddikim gemurim. This is, it's a very prevalent perspective. I'm not negating it at all. But these were tzaddikim gemurim. They would never do anything inappropriate. And that in their decisions, they didn't do anything inappropriate. But it really, to my mind, flies in the face of the pshat of the psukim. Because in the pshat of the psukim, they themselves are blaming themselves.
Right.
We deserved it, and we shouldn't have done this, and we're responsible. In the pshat, they sold their brother down the river. You know what I'm saying? And they recognize they did something terribly wrong. So for Yosef to come back and whitewash it, you're saying, I don't blame you. Yosef is saying, look at how it came out. But that's not what he's saying.
No, he's saying...
He's saying, you didn't do it. So Yael is saying a little more nuanced. You did something, but, we're going to see all these pshatim in the mefarshim. I want to look at the words a little more carefully. What I wonder is, and I think this is, you know, the lesson for us is, how much are we supposed to be like this? You know, like, it's a very, the idea of turning the other cheek, is that a Jewish attitude? It's a very Christian attitude. You know, somebody did something horribly wrong to you, altered your life in an incredibly meaningful way. Let's say, you know, there's some guy who your husband was in business with, cheated from him, stole from him, ruined him, bankrupted him, and because of it, your husband had to go back and go to school and start a new life and got a Nobel Peace Prize. You know what I'm saying? So do you say, well, it's because of you that I got the Nobel Prize in chemistry. Thanks. Are we supposed to say that? Are we supposed to say, you know, maybe you really shouldn't have stolen all my money and bankrupted me and, you know, caused me all that anguish?
No, but the end result had nothing to do with that person. The end result was that Hashem helped him get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened to have been through this person because of the events.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you. What about our relationship with that guy? Do I look back at that guy and say, you were just the hand of God. Thank God you had the gumption to cheat and steal for me. Woo!
What could
Joseph
achieve?
So,
what's
the
alternative to be resentful?
I was just going to say, what
do you mean? Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not serving anybody.
And then what?
To carry around resentment, I mean, from a psychological perspective, right? Like, obviously, it's easier said than done to forgive and to move on and to see it that way, but
uh-huh.
I think that it is something that we should perhaps be striving for. What good is it to be, you know, obviously there's justice and there's laws and those have to be dealt with, but to be resentful and... Why?
Yeah.
What do you think he should have said?
Why? One second. I'm trying to remember which book it was in.
Well, I just wanted to say, at the end of the day, a person's cheshbon ha-nefesh is between him and Hashem. It's not for me to say that he was wrong or whatever. Even if he was, I don't know the full story. I don't know the full story behind the why and the what and whatever other circumstances were happening and whatever. And to the extent that it affected me, then of course I've got to settle that so that I don't bear a grudge. And to the extent that I've got to know that I can't trust this person and do business with him in future and then move forward from it. But in terms of bearing a grudge, I've got to say, you know what, that's his cheshbon ha-nefesh between him and Hashem. And it's not my business anymore.
Really? I mean, we're supposed to say...
Yes.
I you're all better people than me.
Let's say that crazy.
I heard something. I want to hear this. This sounds interesting.
Okay. What if ran into someone's kid? What if ran in, God forbid, lo aleinu, into someone's kid?
Right.
Would we have said it's God with God's will, or would you be so angry at this person?
Of course, you'd be furious, and of course, you'd be angry.
So they basically did this to Yosef. They basically he by all accounts should have been dead. He should not have been standing there as a vice president.
I'm
looking for the chart that I used.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But what would...
He was rescued on his merit.
Maybe it's in she didn't put in the Torah.
And done it to him.
You know what I'm saying? It's like...
For us, I don't know.
Would you expect, if God forbid, the lady,
I think it was in a former book
than that. Oh, it's okay, it's from God?
Not
at all.
But that had these... You would have, not to say thank you to that person, but you would maybe see it through different eyes. And that's saying easy,
right.
And like...
Should only that, 100%.
Right.
I think that's the best, but that's the question here, is how can he say The other thing is that these were his brothers. Right. After all,
right.
These were not just stone people.
Exactly.
This was not
even worse. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's. I mean, it's interesting that you said I saw Pshat. I was trying to look for it. I don't remember where I saw it. I think his name is Rav Moshe of Jerba. I think it was of some. I mean, he lived in Tunisia he lived at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. He was like the chief rabbi of Tunisia, and he wrote. He said when Yosef said Al Ta'atzvu, he said, "Do not be angry. Do not be sad." He said because we all know that itzavon, sadness, is like a poison in the body. He says Chazal say it, and doctors say it. That if you walk around with this sense of depression and anguish, it could destroy you. So,
and
you know what I'm saying?
Anger.
Right. And don't be angry also. But it's just very, very...
Well, why would they be angry?
What? Angry at themselves. Oh. Right? Don't be angry at each other. Okay, let's go back and read the words again, because there's some things that come out, and we're going to do some of them with Farshim. Okay. Says Yosef, ve'ata, hey, al te'atzvu. Okay? Do not be sad. Ve'al yichar be'enechem. Ki machartim oti heina. If you have sold me here. Because God has sent me for Mechia. Why?
What? It's very strange to me the reasons he's telling them that Hashem sent him there.
What do you mean? Hashem sent me as
Hashem sent me
to go save the world.
He says Hashem sent me so you wouldn't starve. It's implying that Abraham never told his descendants about the Brit Ben Habtarim, that they were supposed to end up in Mitzrayim at some point.
They knew
about the Brit Ben
Habtarim.
They
had.
Clearly,
Yaakov
knew.
Why didn't he say, I'm part of that process of the Brit Ben Habtarim?
That's what he's saying.
It's not what he's saying. He's talking about the immediate sustenance.
Well, they also lived in fear of the Brit Ben Habtarim. Could you imagine if you had this family legacy? Oh, yes, and we all know that one day we will be exiled and suffer for many, many, many years. Hooray. You know, like they're trying to avoid it. Who wants that? Okay. Kizesh natayim rabakar v'aretz v'od chamish anim asher ein charish v'katzir. We're here 2 years. V'yishlecheni Elohim nifnechem lasum lachem she'erit ba'aretz v'lachayot lachem. He keeps saying, lachem, lifnechem, for you. It's really all for you. This is what's done for you. Okay? Mifleta gedola. V'ata. Lo atem shlachtim oti heina ki Elohim. He says it twice. See that? You see where I'm saying? Look at the beginning of hey, and the beginning of chet.
And so that makes them feel more guilty about being so nice about it.
I was actually thinking that.
Just saying. What?
He's making them feel more guilty because he's just being so nice to them.
I mean, just like let us have it for once or something.
No, just take it out.
So I actually. What if we just saw this pasuk alone by itself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and after all the dreams, he says, "V'ata lo atem shlach tamotzi hena ki halokim v'yisaminu le'av leparola
v'chol
beito." It's like, it's not even you who did this. Just like in my dreams, it was that I was king, I'm king here. It's kind of like you see my dreams.
Why should they say that? They do say that, that this was really the Ratzon Hashem.
This pasuk is like showing like, haha. My dream came true.
Yeah. My dream. Oh, you think you? No, I don't.
No,
this pasuk.
Here.
She does have a point.
Okay.
As soon as he says, "I am Yosef," that's all.
Because otherwise, exactly, and also otherwise, this pasuk is repetitive.
Of course, it's repetitive. The whole thing's a repeat of the thing before.
Right. So maybe that's where he was like getting a little bit.
I'll read you some of the mefarshim. There's some mefarshim, and there's also a very interesting other perspective. Okay. I don't know. That's a little harsh.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
That's his way of getting back at
him. Okay. I'm reading. This is from the Torah Shleima. The Midrashim are very. See, it's interesting. I thought I would find more on this, and I didn't because I think some of the Mefarshim say, "Well, this is that's Yosef is a great man. He's Yosef Atzadik." And like you said, Atzadik is able.
What?
Atzadik is able to say to see Yad Hashem even in. In unbelievable things. Well, but but I'm saying din is one thing. Like you asked me before, am I supposed to hold a grudge? There's a difference between holding a grudge. First of all, did they ever ask him for forgiveness? No. So the only thing between holding a grudge, and another thing to say, I can whitewash what it is that you did. You're right. I don't have to walk around with hate in my heart for the rest of my life. Because that's me. Right. But there's another thing to say, I forgive you for what you did, and I think that what you did was really the hand of God.
But you're not.
I see.
But why don't they ask for forgiveness?
And we know that there's always this separation between Yosef and his brothers, because after Yaakov dies, they're scared.
They're scared. They're scared, and he cries. Why does he cry? He cries because he says, I can't believe that you would think that I would do that. Mm-hmm. He cries. You know, and it's sad. But they're like, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that Chazal basically saw this as the greatness of Yosef. That he was somehow able to really see the Yad Hashem, and then the question becomes, is that an ideal? And I struggle with that. I'll tell you honestly, I don't know if that's an ideal. That to whitewash the evil of other, really evil, that if you really think what the brothers did was horrible.
But you also,
and to say it was really Yad Hashem. You know, to what degree am I supposed to say? You know, okay, you know, Hamas kidnapping Gilad Shalit is Yad Hashem because really, you know, because really it's bringing the Jewish people together and we have to decide about, you know, who knows what's going to be in the end, and it's really Yad Hashem. Are we supposed to say that?
It's very different.
Why? Because they're going...
Hamas still pose a huge threat to us. His brothers don't pose a threat to him. He's got no reason. How did he know that?
So you're saying, now that Yasser Arafat's dead, I should look back and say it was really, the, you know, all the people that he had killed in his terrorist operations. No, he's no longer a threat to me. So I could look back and say it was really Yad Hashem?
Say that the brothers never asked for forgiveness, but we're forgetting Yehuda's whole speech and...
That has to have stirred something in
Oh, clearly that stirred Yosef's desire to reconcile.
Forgive,
But forgiveness doesn't mean that they're blameless. He's not saying that they're blameless.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
I also think that because they're his brothers, he's been among Egyptians for all these years, and he probably missed his family, and he probably felt very separated from them, which he was.
Correct.
And emotionally.
Correct.
And when he sees them, it's such a... I think that he probably had a very warm, wonderful feeling. Look, here are my brothers. And I think what he actually did was he was able to draw a line and pull a curtain over the past and to say, now, you're my brothers.
Again, I think your theme is beautiful and true. I think there's a lot of truth to that. But what he's then doing is saying something that's not true. He is choosing to look at history in a certain way in order to move forward.
Yeah.
I know what you did, but I'm going to pretend that what you did didn't happen in order to, you know, you didn't do it, it wasn't you, even though it really was, it wasn't you, I don't hold a grudge against you, it was really the hand of God.
Well, so, I think he sees it that way, and it is also a way that they can all move forward.
I think the other component that you're missing...
Wait, let me just read you the Midrash, okay? Lo yatzat zeirat mitzirati mikem. My being sold to the Midrash is not from you. Ela hakadosh baruch hu gazarken. God decreed it, because they should tihiye lachem michya mishvili. Shnei amar ki michya shalachani. Some midrashim said that. No, he said it's not your fault. You didn't do it. The whole idea of my being sold was really the designs of the Ribbono Shel Olam from the beginning. Who gave you that inspiration? Hey, let's sell him. Boop. Was it your yetzahara? It was the designs of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The question becomes: how far do you take that? And if you believe that. I mean, that's unbelievable.
But that idea was designed to save him from Yehuda.
Mm.
I mean, because they were going to kill him. So that was a way of saving him. Right?
Great. Does that make you feel better?
Well, no, I mean, but...
Remember, somebody was going to kill me, and I don't remember who, and then you guys saved me. You know, that's
by
a...
By selling me.
Right, by selling
instead
me.
Instead of by ganging up against the guy.
Thanks! you know? Okay. Let me give you a different midrash perspective that I found a little surprising. Okay? There's always the perspective of, it could have been even worse. You know what I'm saying? What you did, well, it was good what you did because it could have been worse. Because, remember the whole idea of the Mibrit Ben Abtarim. Everybody knows that we're going down to Egypt. So there's this notion in the midrash that says the following. Amar Lahem, Gzeiratan shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleinu, the Gzeira of God upon us was, Leredet Mitzrayima B'Shalshalaot Shel Barzel. It's very possible that our fathers, really, the Midrash says that Yaakov Avinu could have been dragged down to Egypt in chains of, in iron chains.
Shackles.
But, Shenemar ki ger ziyeh zeracha ve'eretz lo lahem. So you imagine, right, if you're going to be a stranger in a strange land, you're going to be exiled, it's against your will. Ela shehikdim hakadosh baruch hu refuah l'makatenu. That God sent the refuah, he sent the antidote beforehand, b'shalcheni al yedei gilgul lifneichem kodem ichem. See, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it, I mean, if you want to say that Yosef like chooses to have that perspective, and he says, you know, I now see that everything that happened was really from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything that happened, and it wasn't because of you. It wasn't, and it could have been worse. And it was really the gift of God that you sent me to Egypt. I mean, if and I think there is a very strong, legitimate perspective to say that, you know, that's Yosef HaTzadik, that he's able to see, imagine how much worse it could have been, and like, why would we want not want to say that that's his righteousness? But then the question becomes for us, is that something for us to aspire to? You think so? It's not my personality. What?
So I think we let go of a lot of negativity when we do that.
But don't we justify others' evil?
No.
Sure we do.
No. It's just not our problem to sort out. It's not for us to deal with it.
It's the issue.
There's somebody out there whose job it is to deal with it.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that you have to have dealings with that person, necessarily.
Why would you not want to? He didn't do it.
No.
You know, aren't you contradicting yourself? If you hold no grudge, if you really believe that that person, even in their own warped mind,
he had a choice to do it, and he did wrong.
Like, that's exactly what I'm saying to you.
What Nikki's saying is that you don't have control over what other person does, but you have a control over your reaction.
That's not what he's saying. That's okay. We're dealing with a spectrum of reaction. Spectrum of reaction is, I hate this guy. I will hate him forever. Okay. Middle of the road is, he did evil. I forgive him. The other side, the total other side is, he didn't do it, even though it seemed like he was doing evil. It was really the hand of God. So how could I hold him responsible? Of course, that's exactly what he's saying.
You didn't do it.
You didn't send me here. Whatever. It doesn't matter what you did.
You didn't do it.
The object.
Okay, that means that there's a chashash that you did.
But if you look at those words, he didn't send okay. him. They didn't send him there.
Now let's look at the Or HaChaim. Look at the Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim is unbelievable on this. And by the way, usually the Or HaChaim is usually more Kabbalistically based. Correct. Like this is not. This is very down to earth. So he must have. Correct. You're very good. He must have something caught his eye. You don't usually see this from the Or HaChaim. So if you have it, the Or HaChaim on Pasuk, hey, I don't think you have it in that one. Pasuk, hey, go back to hey. Okay? Or HaChaim and Pasuk, hey. We're going to read through a little bit of it. V'ata al te atzvu. Okay, for those of you who have it. V'ata, and now, tzarech ladat, omro v'ata. Why do you say now? Ma balishlo. And now, don't be upset. Now, don't be upset. Remember, he said it twice. Bet, lama kafalo mar al ta'atzvu v'al yichar. Don't be upset and don't be angry. Don't be sad, don't be mad. Okay? V'od ein bet dvarim hafchim. They seem to be opposites. Ha'itzavod yore al shivron lev. Right? Sadness is shivron lev, depression. V'acharon af yagid al ga'ava. If I'm angry, my angry is from indignation. Who is he? Like, what you say on the one hand, don't be depressed and then don't be indignant. Those seem to be opposites. Okay? Od tzarich ladad lama digdek lomar tevat hena. The word hena. Why did he say it? They didn't say, you sold me here. Achein perisham shel dvarim hu al zeh haderech. Okay, this is what he means. Yodei ani ki atem ne'etzavim al hamecher. I know you're upset about the actual sale. Ukemo shegilu da'atam be'amram aval ashimim anachanu. Remember, the brothers beforehand had said, we're guilty. And Yosef heard them, but they didn't know he understood them because they were speaking Hebrew and they thought he was an Egyptian. Remember, that's why he had to run away. He knew that they felt guilty. He knew that they felt sad. Shamru shiyardu lifdoto, and also the Midrash says, Gam lefi ha-Midrash, the Midrash says this, Shamru shiyardu lifdoto bidamim yikarim. When they went down to Egypt, they brought money with them. Why did they bring money with them? Because they had decided they would search for Yosef. They were going to try to free him and bring him back. So already he knows that they had changed their mind, that they were going to try to correct their ways. He says, now. Why does it say now and don't be upset? It's not that, the Or Chaim says, that Yosef totally absolved them of what they had done. Rather,
but he already seen
their way. Now, don't be upset now. You know why? I forgive you because I know you felt bad. I know you have remorse. So Yosef Atzadik, like, it's not that you, according to Or Chaim, whitewash everything that everybody does. But since he saw their remorse and he saw evidence of their desire, you could also say this in Shabbat, by the way. You don't have to use the Midrash, you don't have to do anything. I would say like this. What brought Yosef to the point where he reveals himself? As soon as he sees Yehuda sticking up for Binyamin. That's a huge deal. It's a huge issue. Yehuda says, Binyamin is so important, take me instead. And it's at that point Yosef says, okay, game over. He reveals himself. And that he knows that the internal, the underlying rot, or the underlying cause of what caused them to sell him in the first place is no longer there. And he says, now I can forgive them. He can forgive them because whether they apologize, what?
Because it's Shuvah Shlema, you're in the same place,
correct,
and you're not repeating the same
correct
action.
Well, it's even more than that. How much more than that? It's not even that they could sell him up the river or whatever. They're Yehuda is sacrificing himself. The very person who sold him away, he's now sacrificed himself. So, you know, that's Vata. And now, okay.
Okay, one second.
He wanted to reveal to them, to hint to them, and he's trying to tell them, I know you're upset, I know you're sorry. And that's how he says, I forgive you. You know what I'm saying? So, what's interesting about this Or HaChaim is, it's not that Yosef is like so far above and beyond. You know, like, no, that would be ridiculous. It'd be ridiculous to
sure
it would be ridiculous to expect Yosef to forgive them for something that they don't even feel bad about. But they do feel bad, and they have changed, and therefore he forgives them. Okay, we're going to skip a little bit. Skip to, like, you're chopping at the bit. Skip to Or HaChaim on Chet. Okay, ve'ata lo atem shlachtem oti. The next page on Taf Lam and Gim at the bottom. Okay. Hirush, you didn't send me. What does he say? Latet letam lahasir m'libam chshash hasina. Don't hate. They take away the hatred. Lebal yachshavu ki Yosef yistom otam b'yisne'em al asher nitachzu alav. They shouldn't think that Yosef hates them. He says, you didn't do it. He's trying to say, tell them in their heart, you didn't, you know, I don't hate you. V'hiyeh b'enehem davar rachok. Yosef, they think, like, you know, he, like, realistically, if I was one of the brothers, like, I would think my brother, like, he hates us. He's going to always hate us. Therefore, leze amar lahem, the following: Hein emet ki b'shat ma'aseh asher machruhu hayu hadvarim zarim be'enav. He says, yes, when you sold me, it was like, I didn't understand. It was crazy. Like, you know, I couldn't. It was impossible to understand how you would do this. How they could be so stubborn, so cruel. Yes, and I should have, based on then, what you did then, yes, I would have hated you. Achen, but ata. And this is so interesting in the word now. Okay. Now I look back and I see, ki yada ki hamaaseh haya me'et Hashem, v'hem shlichuto yidbarach asu, v'lo shlichut atzman. They were really the shlichim of the Ribono Shel Olam, and not, they didn't do their own shlichut, their own messengers. U'beze ein makom lishmor lahem eiva, v'lo laharchik midat ha'achva mehem. So he says, there are two things, very beautiful. He says, v'alata al te'atzvu, don't be depressed. The depression is from them. Look at what you did. Why not be depressed? Because you feel bad. Because you have remorse. So I forgive you. And on the other hand, ve'al yichar be'enechem, don't be angry. Why can't, I'm not angry at you. Why am I not angry at you? Why I don't have this rage at what you did? Because vis-a-vis the rage, I see that it was Yad Hashem. It was Yad Hashem involved. Meaning the Arachayim says very beautifully, very powerfully, it was both. On the one hand, he required their forgiveness. He needed their forgiveness. He needed their remorse. Well, and on the other hand, he also saw Yad Hashem in the events as they played out. Okay. And when you combine the two, then he says, like you said, it's like, I don't hold a grudge because I see the hand of God in it. He said, I have to read on. I have to finish the Ayar Chaim because it's, is this what you meant? You're chopping it to bit?
Yeah.
It's an incredible thing. And she's like, get to it. Okay, I'm getting it. Okay. V'ulai, he says, ki bezei haya lehem panim la'amod difnei avihem. What happened when they went back home? This is a very interesting thing that Mepharshim struggled with. Hey, Dad, you'll never believe who we met in Egypt.
Who? They could have also not told him.
Who?
Could have, like...
Yosef. What? Yosef.
We've been crying for 22 years.
Right. Remember the guy that you thought was dead? Da, 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 da. So he says, this is a fundamental question. Did Yaakov ever find out what happened? What really happened? You're like shaking your head. No.
They never told me.
Ah.
No, why would they tell?
Rashi intimates, I can't find it, I don't know if I search for it now, but Rashi intimates that Yaakov always suspected them. When Yaakov refuses to send down Binyamin, he says, Otishi kalti in Binyamin einenu, Shimon einenu. Right, if you look at the Rashi over there, Rashi says, Yaakov says, Yosef is gone and we don't know where he is. You know what I'm saying? And there's no way I'm sending Binyamin with you. Okay? So if you look at Rashi over there, it's worthwhile to see. Look what Orach Chaim says. He says, Ki heim hagormim lo evel ubechi kabet shana. Who caused Yaakov mourning and remorse for 22 years?
Brothers.
Them. Ba'asu ha-ma'aseh ha-mufla b'mechar avihem. They did this unbelievable, crazy thing in selling their son, their brother. V'ra'eni shegam bosh lo yavoshu me'avihem. And they didn't even tell the father. Because what they do, v'yanirem lomar ki Yaakov lo yada guf ma'aseh. He says, it's possible to say, like Yael is saying, that Yaakov never knew. Or Chaim says, v'zeh derech rachok.
For sure.
Right?
He could have suspected, but they never told him.
Or Chaim says, v'zeh derech rachok. He says, I think that's far-fetched.
What, that they never told him?
Ki pshita shelo yimna machkor zot. What's he going to say? So Yaakov is going to say, you found Yosef? Great!
Let's just go.
Let's go.
Where's he been?
He's never going to ask, what happened to him? What happened to him? Well, we don't know. We just found him. You didn't ask him?
Well, don't forget Yaakov.
Galgalu hadvarim ad sheyarad Yosef Mitzrayim. How did the events play out? 22 years, I can't believe it. How did he get down to Egypt? And what are they going to say? And they're going to say, We didn't think to ask him that question. Crazy, you know? Wow, we should ask him that. And then he says, whatever. He says, V'gam ma'aseh ketonet ha-pasim, ha-muvay la-mutbal b'dam. Remember that little piece of evidence that they said? Hey, Dad, recognize this? Aval el vaday ki b'ta'anat lo atem shalachtem oti she'amar Yosef, Ukar hadavar ki mi'et Hashem haita. Right, so they must have said, they must have told him, and they said it was really the hand of God, and therefore ve'ein la'achar la'hahir achar midotav.
That they said it was the hand of God, or that Yaakov understood it was the hand of God?
I guess then that Yaakov also understood. That's how else could they have stood before their father? He says, you know, can you imagine, like,
but I also,
it's one thing to stand before your brother. And then, but going back to Yaakov, they saw him every day. He mourned for his son every day. You can imagine, like, you know, he had a thing on the wall. Days Yosef has been missing. Right? 4,344 days. And every day he, like, erased the thing. 4,345 days. You know what I'm saying? There were websites. You know, like, in Gilad Shalit, there was a website, Yosef is missing. And he had, like, big placards of Yosef, you know. And he would go and say, Yosef, I know you're still with me. He did. That's what he did. And they watched him every single day.
I was also thinking that maybe there was one more level to Yosef.
Yeah.
Achim could have gone back and not told Yaakov. They could have gone back.
I choose to believe that.
And stuff like that, and not told
them anything.
And not told them.
Nah.
Because they were afraid that they would get in trouble.
And never show up again.
They had to come from time. There are 5 years left of the
battle. The start of it, yeah, I don't think so. And they never, like, what would they eat? And he would come after them, don't you think? Then he would come after them.
Then it wasn't. I'm saying, like, he needed to make them feel that it's okay to go and bring your father back.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think they also sent them back without any accompaniment? Without any Egyptians? Like, he sent them stuff and wagons and whatever.
Did Yosef know that his father had nothing to do with it? Because until now...
Oh, wait, you raised a huge... Yeah, raised, yeah, I don't want to get involved.
That's a huge thing.
Right,
that's
a huge
question. I'm saying from Yosef's
if you could look it up in the... I don't want to get in there.
I'm not angry at you so that they'll come back.
You could use it. You have to look it up. There's a very famous argument between Rav Yoel ben Nun and Rav Yaakov Maidan, two very big remnants in the Gush, about whether Yosef thought that his father was in on the deal or not in the deal. It's not this year.
No, but great year. Yosef had to make the brothers feel that it's okay if they come back.
So I found this. This is one of these very great Vort books called Mayan HaShavua. It's very popular in Israel nowadays. And he discusses this issue. And I want to finish with a couple of these things and then the Gemara. Who is he? I don't know. Some Rav Mordechai HaKohen Volch. No, Rav Shalom Meir Volch. Anyway, he wrote a nice, very beautiful book. Okay. So he says, what does it mean? So I'll give you a couple of mufarshim. What do you mean it wasn't you? So he says, okay, the Chida writes the following. Yosef hinted to them. Remember when Yosef went to go find his brothers in Shechem?
The Chida was a student of the Arachayim.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That helps a lot. When Yosef went to Shechem, remember? And he went to go find them in Shechem, and they weren't in Shechem. And who does he see?
Somebody.
Some guy. Some guy. Right. He says, and the mufarshim say, who was it? The angel Gavriel. So he says, who caused me to bump into you that you sent me down to Mitzrayim? That was really Yad Hashem. Because if it wasn't for that, I never would have bumped into you. I would have gone home.
Gavriel's the same one who put the tail on last
year. You should just know, right. Gavriel, in the eyes of Chazal, is always the malach of Hashkacha Pratit in the world.
Interesting.
So Chazal did view that there was Yad Hashem in there. This is a very interesting thing. Number one. Number two, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama. Okay? Okay, that is Yitzchak. Who was he?
17th century.
Okay, thank you. Italy, right?
You don't know.
Yes, Atem Achartin Li Le'eved, you said he is an Eved, Ava Yecholim Ayu Midyanim Lashrini Bishutam. Who caused that the Midyanim sold me to the Egyptians? And then the Egyptians put me there. So therefore he says, yes, you are responsible. There is some culpability. But afterwards I see the way the events played out that it really wasn't... That it really was Yad Hashem. Number three, Rabbi Benel says something actually quite interesting. He says, "Amnam Adamba." The problem is saying, Nikki. The problem is saying that it's really not your fault. It's really Yad Hashem. Is what do you do with the idea of Bechira Chavshi? The brothers hold responsibility.
They didn't have to do it.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't absolve totally. So he says, yes, person is Baal Bechira. He says, "Aval Masim Gidolim Ukvirim, Lo Nasim BeBichirato Ela Nivkaim BaMarom." He says, in normal situations, yes, if some guy ripped off your husband and bankrupted you, and you know what I'm saying, that's a normal situation. But we're not dealing with a normal situation here. Here we're talking about a situation of the history of the Jewish people, the history of the world, the way things play out in time. Okay, he says, and in this case, Zeu Shamar Lehem Yosef. This is what Yosef said. She'inyan kol chashuv u'machria. Ke'atzalat Yaakov avinu banav u'b'nei banav min hara'av. Something so important, like the salvation of Yaakov and his children. Vadai min ha'shavayim sevavuhu. That's min ha'shamayim. So you're left with all these different options. You know, on the one hand, you could say, from the very narrow, from Orachayim, he blamed them, but they apologized, and that's why he said it was okay. All the way to, they never apologized, but Yosef saw, because of the greatness of the importance of the events, that it really wasn't from them, and that's why he didn't hold that. And that was the element of Yad Hashem that was involved. But you know, you have this whole perspective of seeing the hand of God in the events in the world. I'll just leave you off a very famous piece from the Gemara in Brachot by Rabbi Akiva. You've all heard it, but it's worthwhile to hear again. The following, and I think that this is the way that we're supposed to be. I think with other people, when people harm us, I think that it's right to expect them to apologize and then to move on. And if they don't, if they maintain their sense of indignation or negativity or whatever, then don't have to do with them. And like, it's one thing to say, I hate them in my heart. It's another thing to say, this person wronged me and I really don't want anything to do with them. You know, you don't have to hold the hate yourself, but that doesn't mean you have to forgive them. You don't have to see Yad Hashem in every evil thing every person does. But then there are innocuous events. There are events that people not that people do, but that happen to us. Right? And then the question of personal hashgacha does play a role. Like, where's God's hand in my life in the things that happen around me, not caused by people? So this is a very famous story of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, because the Gemara says that a person is chayav adam levarech al hara'a kishem shemevarech al hatova. You have to bless God for the bad, just like you bless God for the good. It's a really hard thing to do. That's why we say the bracha of Dayan HaEmet when we lose a loved one. Right, that's the halacha of Dayan HaEmet. That you see in the world, just like if God causes the good things, the things that I think are good, so also the things that I think are bad are also from Hashem, because Hashem knows what's for the best. So the ideal, obviously, is this very famous story of Rabbi Akiva. He had the Rabbi Akiva. Havakazel b'urcha. He was traveling on the road. Mata lahi mata. He got to a city. Ba'a ushpiza. He looked for a place to stay. Lo yahavale. For whatever reason, nobody would give him a place to stay. Amar, so he said, kol da'avid rachmana litav. Right? In another way of saying, everything that God does is for the best. Azal ubat bidabra. He went to hang out. He went to go stay in the dabra, in the midbar, in the wilderness. V'hava bahadei tarnagola. He had a chicken. V'chamra v'sharga. You know the story. He had a chicken and a donkey and a lantern. Ata zika. A wind came. V'kavya l'sharga. Blew out the lantern. Ata shunra. A fox came. Achle tarnagola. Ate his chicken. Ata arye. And a lion came. Achle l'chamra. And ate it. You know, it must be a traumatic evening. You know, seriously. You know, but Amar called the Avid Rahman al-Litav. Everything Hashem did is for the best. Belelia asa gaisa ata gaisa shavya lamata. Right, that night, this evil band of marauders came and took the whole city captive and hauled them away. Amar lehu. Lav Amri Lechu, did I not tell you, said to the rabbis, Kol ma she'osea kadosh baruch hu hakol l'tova. Gamzu l'tova. Well, everything that Hashem does is for the best. And I think so, like when it comes to when people do bad, they have bechira, and they're responsible for their actions. And you're right, Hashem has to take care of it, but it doesn't mean I have to absolve them. But when things happen to me that are struggles, when things happen to me and I want, and I say, why is this happening to me? Right, then really we have the responsibility and the opportunity to see the Yad Hashem in it, to say, everything that Hashem does for me is really for the best, and how can I grow from this? And if Yosef was Yosef HaTzadik, we don't have to be Yosef HaTzadik, but we can at least try and improve ourselves to say, Koma David Rahmana Letav Abad. Have a good week.